Welcome to the Truly Rich Life Project, because the richest lives are built on more than money. Hi, my name is Melissa Moss. I'm a certified financial planner in the North Georgia area in Metro Atlanta, and I'm excited to be sharing this message with you today. Recently, my messages, my podcast might have been scary to some people. In fact, I gave a talk recently about how much money somebody might need to save up in order to retire with a certain amount of money or cash flow. Now, the truth is, most people might not be in a situation where they have an overabundance of money. If that were the case, I wouldn't have a job. So my real job, how I truly help people is, yes, to help them grow and accrue and accumulate their money over time. And it's also to help them make more of what they've got. So plan to see what hidden things we might be able to see and notice with other cash flows or potential cash flows. And so the example I gave last week was how much money, you know, what's your number, a real life look at how at retirement readiness and the equivalent of $50,000 today, how much money you might need to have saved up. And I think that number was about $2.4 million to account for inflation and income taxes and also, yeah, I think those two things, and also a couple years of cash reserves. So that's what is built into those numbers. And it is possible to retire with what you've got, right? It might take, though, realizing the kind of lifestyle that that you get to have with the number you have saved up. So that's part of it, is setting your expectations appropriately. In fact, you know, I've recently come to work with somebody who is very bright and has had quite the journey in his life. And he's like, you know what? I am ecstatic that these things are happening. And he's able to retire a little earlier than he anticipated. And his number, he actually has a little less than $1 million saved up as of the last time we looked at statements due to market volatility. And his number actually, I think, will be a little bit over that, especially now that markets have adjusted and bounced up a little more yesterday, or I guess this morning. Both of those things, the president announced some tariff updates with China. So there's market action based on that news. But I'd like to share a little bit more about how it's possible to retire on less than $2.4 million and sustain yourself on, you know, on your savings and any other cash flows you have available. So something that's really important to consider is Social Security. That will be a huge portion of retirement income for most people. And for some people, it's almost all or all of their retirement income. Now, Social Security is a complicated formula based on what you pay into the system, and it takes your highest earning 35 years and averages that out. Now, you can probably find the exact formula online. I have plenty of other things to bore you with, so I won't go there. But that will be a very important aspect of income. Now, something I do want to point out, and I know a lot of entrepreneurs and love that, and I love that so many are doing tax planning and really being aggressive and working with aggressive tax filers. I do want to point out, though, that if you are deducting a lot on your income, using a lot of things as expenses, you may have a lower Social Security tax bill in this given year, but that might affect your Social Security payment, your income check later on in retirement. So just something to be aware of. I don't know your personal situation. I'm not your financial advisor, so don't take that to mean anything. But if you are deducting heavily and you're not maxing out Social Security payment into the system, that tax payment, then I would not expect the maximum payment out of it. A lot of people, in fact, most people though, do tend to be W-2 workers and employees. So people who are employed are typically just automatically that that amount is the FICA FUTA taxes are going straight to the IRS out of the paycheck, and nothing that they have to do about that, and there's no real expenses to deduct in that situation with a W-2 employee. So you can still plan for this and make decisions around how to contribute to, max out, or boost your Social Security income if that's something that is important to you. And if it's not, I would just be sure that, or take care to consider what you're not getting in Social Security later. You may get to just plan for some other way. Because if you don't pay in, you probably will not be getting a payment out of it. So anyway, Social Security, that is a huge, it's basically like a pension, a lifetime payment you get every single month. Now, right now, the full retirement age for Social Security is 67 years old. And you get 100% of your primary insurance amount. I think that's what PIA stands for. If you start to claim it at age 67, you can claim it as early as age 62 or as late as age 70. Now, if you claim it early, if you claim it right at 62, you will be taking about a 30% haircut off of what you would be receiving at full retirement age. And if you defer and delay until age 70, you'll get a little bit of a bonus since you waited. Now, there are considerations around that. And for most people, it might make sense to wait until age 70, if possible, to start claiming that Social Security, as your checks will be larger since they've had more time to you bonus up, if you will. And also the larger amount gets multiplied by the cost of living allowance or increase every single year as that is adjusted every year, cost of living adjustment, COLA. And that can add up over time, especially over a 30-year retirement, which is what a lot of people are going to be looking at. Now, there is a break-even point as far as if you live a long, long time or a longer lifespan, it absolutely makes sense to wait until age 70. And if you don't, it makes sense to claim earlier. However, most of us will not know our life expectancy or our exact when that's going to happen. So it makes it just so much harder to plan. And in the case of someone who has saved and, you know, done pretty well, been very smart and supported a family, had all the constraints that people tend to have with paying all the bills, getting everyone fed, sending people, you know, kids to school and college, and, working and paying for the groceries, all of the things that life requires of us. And it's still like, maybe you're like, okay, Melissa, I'm here, but I don't like that 2.4 million number is just, that's not happening. Well, you can still retire and you can still probably have the life, a great life with that. And I'm saying what's going through my head is compliance, you guys. So, they will be listening to this. Hey, compliance. Just to make sure that I'm not making overly promissory statements. And so any hesitation is not me thinking, oh, you're not going to live a great life at whatever number you have saved up. That's not it at all. I just also need to be sure that I'm not promising things. So please don't take any of this as like the way, but I'm just kind of trying to paint a picture here. Of how this can work out. And so if you have, let's say, $1 million saved up between a couple married filing jointly, you can also both access Social Security. Let's say you're getting near the full insurance or your Social Security payment, near like the maximum of what someone might be paid. Let's say that's gonna be $4,000. I don't think that's the most, but that's a healthier Social Security check. And if the spouse was a stay-at-home caregiver for most of their career, a spouse can actually claim half of their spouse's Social Security check. So if somebody, like, this was created for when it was a lot more common, and it is still pretty common, but when women would stay home and be a homemaker, a caregiver. And so the Social Security Administration allowed for women to claim half of their husband's Social Security check in lieu of their own possibly smaller or non-existent Social Security income check. Now, I say husband, wife, whatever, you know, who knows who's making more money in a relationship? I certainly don't know. It can go both ways. So a husband, if the spouse of any gender has a higher income level, your spouse can claim 50% of your paycheck or your Social Security check at full retirement age, or when, you know, that happens. And that's a great option for many people. Now, it only makes sense if half is greater than their own Social Security check. And everyone will have to just look at that and consider that on their own. The Social Security Administration should have some information to give you. And, you know, also Social Security is actually quite complicated. There are a lot of nuances to it and a lot of exceptions and little things that affect everything. And so it might not hurt to chat with somebody who can give you a little more insight into what you might expect around Social Security. Now, that is something I do with my clients. So if you're ever curious and you have your Social Security statement, you're like, what would this look like? What's the best claiming strategy? I can create some scenarios. I have some software to do that. And that's something I do with my clients. So reach out, contact me. My email is melissa@melissamoss.co. And I'll respond to you and we can chat about that. But really taking a look and being mindful around what makes the most sense for your family as far as the claiming strategy. Now, if you've got some savings and some, you can generate some investment income, and it's not going to be, you know, you may not be spending 300 grand a year on new Lexuses and, cruises around Europe and things like that. Like some people, I say that my dad went on a cruise not too long ago, I guess last fall, river cruise, and he loved it. And he's also still working a little bit, so this is not a comparison by any means. But it is a statement to say, hey, you'll just get to make a decision around how your life, like what's lifestyle will be sustainable for you in retirement and adjust accordingly. So if new cars are not something you care about, if your house is paid for, if you don't have a lot of monthly expenses, your debt is paid off and you just don't need a lot, then you just don't need a lot. You don't need nearly as much as somebody who does need a lot. So lifestyle matters so much for figuring out your retirement number. And so if Social Security is going to be able to cover half or 80% of the paycheck you need to create for yourself in retirement, it's absolutely possible to make do with a whole lot less than $2.2 million. So don't get scared around what I shared last episode. Really take a look and consider what your personal needs are and what will be required for you to live the life you want to live. And that is ultimately what is important to me, is you getting to live the life you want to live. It's not you having the number in a bank account or in an investment account that I shared for what a rule of thumb might be for retirement. It truly is customized to you and your life and what will make the most sense. Now, there are also some people who have some other forms of income. If you have rental property, that might be a source of income. Maybe you collect rent checks. Maybe you have royalties. I don't know. Are you a songwriter? Have you created something that has given you a monthly paycheck? Maybe you own a business or have other things that you've got going on. Maybe even a hobby job. I've heard recently people talk about things that they would love to do. It just is not, it wasn't going to be their career that took them through. For example, somebody cannot wait to work in a flower shop when they retire. So consider what hobbies or how you'd want to spend your time, and maybe one of those things could be generating a little extra cash or something. Now, don't feel obligated to do that. I'm not saying you need to go work. I don't know you and your situation. But I do want to say that there are a lot of different ways to make life work for you and how that'll happen. Actually, I also know someone who's retired and makes some extra cash mowing lawns, and he loves landscaping and being outside. Being outside just makes him so happy, and he loves being of service. He just does not want to be behind a desk, so don't ask him to do that. So life is what you make of it, and as you are planning for and aiming to be able to have the retirement you want, and to make work optional if that's something you're thinking about and you're younger, and starting now to build up your nest egg, just really consider what lifestyle you want. And if you keep your expenses lower, if you need less of a lifestyle, it'll both be easier to save because you'll just have more cash flow to save and invest, which is so key to becoming work optional and having the kind of money you need to say, like, hey, I am working because I want to work versus I'm working because I need to work. That is key. You know, I was also talking to someone earlier today about what financial freedom is. And it's really like, yes, it's kind of about money, but it, more than anything, it's about mental freedom. It's the freedom and time freedom. It's the freedom for you to spend your time how you want to, which I think most people, that's something most people dream of. But if it's not your dream, that's totally fine too. I would be curious what your dream is. Anyway, and so I wanted to talk today specifically about retiring with less than $1 million in investments and savings. And I just want to say it might be possible for you, but it's really important to have a plan, because I know this: if you don't have a plan for your money to outlive you, you have a plan to outlive your money. So talk to someone, get clear on what it is that you need to live the life that you want to live. Your number is specific to you. It's not a rule of thumb. It's not something that is cookie cutter. It is your number. So reach out to someone, and you can find me at melissa@melissamoss.co, or even just book a time on my calendar. You can get to my calendar on my website at melissamoss.co, and I think it says grab a coffee. Let's grab a virtual coffee. Or if you are in the Metro Atlanta area, let me know. Maybe we can meet in person. I would love to see how I could be of service and help you get clear on how you can reach your goals. And this is it for the Truly Rich Life Project. I hope you have a rich week. And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Truly Rich Life Project. I hope this conversation sparked something meaningful for you, whether it was a new idea, a deeper reflection, or just a quiet moment to feel connected to what really matters. If you enjoyed the show, I'd be so grateful if you'd take a moment to leave a review. Your words help more people discover stories that inspire, and they mean the world to me personally. Make sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode. I've got more incredible conversations coming your way about building a rich life in purpose, connection, and possibility. Want to go deeper? Sign up for my newsletter at melissamoss.co/newsletter. That's where I share behind-the-scenes thoughts, intentional money tips, and first access to special events and workshops designed to support your version of a truly rich life. And if there's someone in your world who's building a beautiful life, maybe a parent, a business owner, a legacy maker, send them this episode. Sharing something meaningful is a rich act in itself. Until next time, this is Melissa Moss, reminding you that the richest lives are built on more than money, and you deserve a life that feels as good as it looks. Melissa Moss is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.